Hey, greetings, sisters. Sister Ammon from don'tperish.com. Hey, I'm just doing a sister sharing audio today. And I know we talk about all kinds of things on the edification audio every night, and I do share some things there. I'm having a hard time speaking today, but that's okay. And I do share enough on there, but this is kind of nice. I could just share maybe a little bit more on some topics and stuff and not be monopolizing the whole edification audio, because I don't want to do that. That's for Brother Tupos and I to just share some quick bullet points on things and for him to give more sharing than me, because he can go into depth and more doctrine and things like that. So anyway, I still like to come here and share when I can. And I was just going to say, I was so thankful the past few days have been physically slower, even though I've done a lot of Titus II things. I've had more chance to rest my mind, rest my body, and we're getting older. You know, he's 60, I'm 55, going on, I think I am. I guess I have to look that up, but whatever, close enough. Anyway, we lose track of our days, and I guess that's a good thing. And so, you know, the Lord has thorns in our flesh, and I've had some, and it seems like sometimes I get more than others, other days, and some days we just need that time to rest. But you know what else? We don't always get that rest, we don't always need it, and I see the Lord just keeps giving me the power and the strength to keep pressing through, no matter what it is. And I really see when I am weak how strong He is, and like Paul says, we're going to rejoice in our infirmities. Because of that, and we see Job as a good example, God is glorified when we keep pressing through all these things and we don't just lay down and succumb to everything. He lifts us up and He gives us what we need. And so I just want to give Him praise and thanks for that, give you sisters some encouragement out there, whether it's physical issues or lots of work, many children you have to deal with, whatever it is that you have to deal with, God can rise us up over it if we submit ourselves to Him and trust in Him. I'm going to share a little bit about trust on the end of this. But anyway, I wanted to share with you, we were at City on a Hill, so-called Christian music event this past weekend for a couple days. And on my sign that I held, I listed some of the sins of it because I wanted to be able to have people who were reading it maybe be pricked in their conscience as they walked by, because many people don't want to talk. Most people laughed and mocked and did other things. But there may be a seeker that might be with a group of people that would laugh and mock at them if they came over and talked, so they could at least walk by and see the sins and stuff and maybe go look them up later. But it also did, the word feminism was on there, and it did bring some women over, quite a few, to talk about it, a lot of mockers too. But I was thinking about this one conversation I had with a young woman who wants to be a pastor, and she asked me about the feminism, and I wanted to share this part with you. You know, she wasn't agreeing with it in her flesh. She was listening. We talked about, we went through the gospel, transformed life. We did talk about some of what was going on there. But she was really zeroed in on that pastor role and the feminism. And we did talk about if your insides are transformed, your outsides are going to be transformed too, you know, and how, it, like we always say, look, act, dress, talk, who you associate with and things. And I also like to take women to this. You know, if your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is residing in you, God gets to tell us what to do with that temple, what to look at, what to listen to, how to dress it, who it should associate with, things like that. And it seems to kind of resound with people, and it takes it to a deeper level, and hopefully it pricks their conscience. And I just want to say, she really wasn't agreeing in her flesh. She would nod her head and say, you know, that's in scripture, but she didn't like it in her flesh, so she was trying to find a way, you know, maybe cultural or other things, you know, like people like to say, well, the Corinthians, they were rebellious, you know. Wow, sisters, look at how much rebellion is today, even way, way more than the Corinthians would have had back then. And I don't think people even stopped to look at that. And so she was trying to get it around it and not follow scripture. And it makes me think about not being meek. You know, Brother Tupos did a teaching on meek, and it would be submitting your will to God. You know, we could be wild, crazy, rebellious women like I used to be. That's not meek. Meek is submitting myself, what I am now, under the rule and the authority of God. I have the power to go out and do whatever I want until God takes my life, but I'm going to submit it to Him. And you can go hear that teaching Brother Tupos has done, and I think he's done a few of them on there. And so we see in 1 Peter 3, we're supposed to have a meek and quiet spirit. I have to go look at that and see if it's the same meek. But it gives us, we're supposed to be meek anyway, whether they're the same ones. But we're supposed to have a meek and quiet demeanor as a godly, holy woman and be submitting ourselves to God's authority. And, you know, the head covering is like a sign of that. It's not the only reason why we wear it, but it shows the authority of God's word, you know, that we submit to his authority. And, you know, we're not supposed to be running around do what we want in our flesh. We're supposed to do what God wants. So what I want to say is, so here's a young woman. I think she said she was 16. It's very young for somebody who's wanting to become a pastor. And so what I see in that is somebody in their flesh maybe looking to do it as a vocation, a job, not necessarily in a spiritual sense. She says she's born again. I hope she is. Maybe she's on the path. God can use a lot of the truth that I gave her, maybe to prick her conscience. So if she does what I suggested she do, take some time and study on that. I also asked her if she wanted to email me this all, because at that time we had a man who was standing inches behind me with his face right up by my shoulder, and Brother Two Post had tried to get him to back off, but free speech, free country, he's not touching me. Every once in a while he would say something and we'd keep moving away. It kind of distracted us a little bit. At one point she almost started crying because he kept standing there and trying to say things. But anyway, what I wanted to say is, so here's a woman wanting to be a woman of God, or claiming to be, but she's not wanting to do what God says a woman should do. So see the irony of that? I want to be a woman of God and be a pastor, but I don't want to do what God says. I hope she sees that and that she's making excuses for it, because she was kind of contending about the head covering and biblical dress. And, you know, somebody who is not going to go take time to study the scriptures, I don't know if she is, I'm just kind of using this as an example to kind of springboard off, and not go see what it says, and they just want to live in their flesh, that's not serving the one true God. That's serving what? Their flesh, and serving Satan, who is allowing them to be deceived. And it makes me think of 2 Timothy 3, 6 and 7. It was talking about the false teachers. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Those kind of lusts would be maybe wanting to be a female pastor, wanting to dress in pride and vanity and all kinds of things, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So this young woman, if you're listening, I hope you hear the words and hear, see the love that I gave you that day to try to give you the truth. Not coming to the knowledge of the truth. She did, as well as some of these other people, saying, well, I like to hear what other people's opinions are. I tried to steer her toward the fact that we're supposed to be listening and following the truth, not opinions. And what that does is it opens up your mind to finding and talking to the people that tell you what you want to hear, which means you're ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And so, you know, that's rebellion. That's feminist rebellion. It's what Eve did in the garden. And a lot of people like to treat that as a soft matter. Well, they don't really know. No, it's rebellion. It's sin against a holy God, not following the scriptures and not submitting your will to it. And, yeah, Eve did it. And I wanted to read 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And, you know, a woman like that, and many, many of the other ones that we run into, are going to be rejected from becoming his daughter unless they repent. And I wanted to read Galatians 5, 24 and 25. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So what I see is a lot of these women professing Christ, they're walking in the flesh. I can clearly see it visibly by them approaching. Now, a 16-year-old, that's a little different. She's very young. She's brand new. She might not see the teachings of a holy, godly woman because she's going to a church that doesn't teach it. She has family members that don't teach it, and she doesn't know anybody who does it. But she just met somebody who tried to help her and guide her in that. And I hope those seeds go deep in her someday when she is independent on her own to be able to make her own choices and seek and follow Christ in all his ways. And there's a lot of older women, you know, that I meet, and they don't look like and act like anything like my sisters. And they claim to have been born again for many, many years. And they're deceived. They are not the daughter of the Most High God. They're not going to be received as a daughter of his unless they repent, which is, we go out on the street so we can glorify God. And I really want to help these women, but I can't help rebellious feminist hearts unless they soften it. And so anyway, you know, if we truly want to be standing for the Lord and be an example to help people, you know, like kind of like a real pastor or a shepherd would do, I'm not calling us sisters that, but we would be being servants. If we really want to be a godly, holy woman that looks after the sisters and helps the sisters and teaches and trains like we see in Titus 2, the older teaching the younger, and this could definitely be just in older in the faith, not necessarily age, because a younger woman could teach an older woman how to be a godly woman if she's been walking in the faith longer than the older one. And we have to do it his way and in the bounds of godly, holy women. So there are a lot of things that us women can do, many, many things. In fact, Brother Tupos tells people when it comes to the things in the spiritual, he and I can do all of the same things, except I cannot usurp his authority or the authority of a man, and I can't be teaching them like a student. But like I told this young woman, I can go out on the streets and I can talk to men for quite some time and give them the warnings, why we're out there, what we're warning them of. And then if they want more information about those specific subjects underneath what I'm talking about, now they'll have to be turned over to a brother to get those doctrinal teachings. But us women can certainly hit on a lot of the bullet points in warning men, but we're not usurping their authority. And a lot of men that we run into, obviously, at those so-called Christian events are Christians or claiming it, and I know it, and I ask them. So I'm super careful then to not overstep my bounds. On the streets, I don't know who's a Christian and who's not until they identify themselves. But there is much, much we can do. Think of Priscilla and Aquila. You can go look that up yourself, because I'm not going to go into that, because we don't know the boundaries of how much they... how she was involved with helping Apollos. But what we see, the proclamation of the gospel, Jesus sharing that with women who went and told the men, much, much great, great works can be done by us, sisters. Why do we need to take that one thing that was not given to us, that we were told not to do, right? Think about this. Us women are told not to teach and usurp the authority over men when it comes to the spiritual things in the body like that. What did Eve do in the garden? She was told not to touch or eat of the fruit of the tree, right? She wanted that one thing. Women today want that one thing. Let's not be like Eve and redo this whole thing all over again or keep doing it, you know? We don't want to do that. So anyway, just some encouragement and some thoughts on that. And I did a couple audio Bible readings. I was going to just share one on that later, I guess. But before I do that, I was going to say, I read through Matthew 1 yesterday to myself, and I was thinking about these. I want to go through the chapters and maybe just kind of share a few things, rejoicing in the Lord as I go through them and share them with you, sisters. And Matthew 1, I was just thinking about how I love how it goes through all the genealogies. And, you know, to me, it shows a perfect God coming through an imperfect people. I mean, it was his creation. And I love this. Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. I don't know, that is so big. So he creates us, and then he comes through this lineage, and we can read all about these people in the Old Testament, and all the things that they did right and they didn't, and what an awesome Savior that came to save us from all those sins that they didn't do right, and what we don't do right if we're, you know, we can be saved from them if we repent. And I wanted to read Matthew 1:23. I love this too. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That's pretty amazing. That says a lot. And then I was just thinking, you know, today God is with us if we're with him through Christ. So we can have the love of God through Christ, which he sent to save us from our sins. that's just pretty awesome. Anyway, I just thought I would share a few thoughts on that one. When I get a chance, I'll read Matthew 2 and just kind of, I want to keep being able to do these sister sharing audios, hopefully on a more more regular basis, but you know what? I'm not stressing out over it. I do what I do, what's right in front of me that the Lord would have me do. And I repeat that a lot, but it's to help me remember to be thankful and content in what I can do and do what the Lord has me do instead of maybe always what I'm thinking might be the best thing to do. Good encouragement for you sisters, too. And I was just thinking last night on our edification audio, I read some scriptures on wisdom out of James, and I like that, how if you ask for wisdom, God will give it to you. You got to believe that he will give it to you, and you can't be wavering and being like a double-minded man in there. And so, let's see, I was reading through Proverbs 9 today on the audio Bible reading that I put up on the website, and I like this part right here. Proverbs 9, 8 through 10. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So there we go. We get some more instruction on wisdom, how to apply it, who to give it to, and how it should be received is pretty awesome. I love Proverbs. Well, we love the whole Word of God, but there are some things that pertain differently in our lives. And I love that verse 10. I use this a lot out on the streets. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But you know, one thing I end up forgetting is the knowledge of the holy is understanding. We get understanding of the Word. And if you look in, I think it's John 8, I'd have to go double check on that. But it's where Jesus is talking to, I believe it was the Pharisees, and he said, your father is of the devil, you can't understand what I'm saying because your father's not God. And so if we're of God, we're going to have the understanding, and that kind of goes along with all this wisdom, and James saying not being a double-minded man, because God will give you that wisdom. We can have that understanding. And so that is such a precious gift, you know, because we saw Jesus, when he would talk about the parables, people were blinded. And he's, you know, at one point he thanked God for blinding them because seeing they don't see and hearing they don't hear. It's because they have hard hearts. They're darkened, and God can turn them over, and we don't want to be turned over, do we? So we want to take this all as a precious, serious thing, don't we, sisters? So anyway, I'm going to let you go with that. Love to you all. I think we're headed down the road today. Possible event tomorrow. We'll see. Not really sure, but the Lord knows, and we just go and do what we can for him and do the works that are set in front of us. All right. I love you, sisters. Hold fast. May God be praised.